inventory challenges certainly have been talked about, and we know about them. Are there any challenges that are cropping up now that maybe you didn't anticipate?
We were not prepared for that kind of increase in business that quickly. Getting help is difficult at best, and we're hiring everybody we can.
Fred's is one of the early members that have been participating in the assortment rationalization tool, pitching this to a member. What's kind of the way you explain it to them?
For years, everything was on paper. You couldn't do research that you can do today and stuff. And so, yeah, I was trained to do everything with my gut feelings. This is real data. This eliminates that guesswork. It's a very, very powerful tool.
The appliances category has certainly been a tricky space. And, you know, obviously for manufacturers, as we continue to roll through this coronavirus pandemic across the globe, you know, as they look to manufacture product and have challenges there. But of course, too, on the retail side, you know, trying to get access to that supply and have product to put in showrooms and in warehouses and have available for customers. And recently spoke, that was the voice there of Troy Varness, the general manager of Fred's Appliances based in the upper Northwest, out there in Spokane, Washington, and had a really, you know, kind of insightful conversation around how they've been able to handle, manage this situation. You know, Troy will talk to us about how, you know, one of the things he thought sets them apart was how, you know, from not only their local competition, but just sort of how they run their business too in general. Is the fact that they've always had a strong supply, you know, in their warehouse, a strong inventory, high inventory levels, and helped them on the front end. You know, obviously seeing some challenges now, and talk to them about that. And then also, you know, that was gave us a nice opportunity to talk about the new assortment rationalization tool, better known or shorter known as ART, here at Nationwide, the new tool that launched to, you know, that gives retailers an opportunity to look at their assortment, you know, as the tool says, in the appliance category, and see where, you know, they may have some challenges, some opportunities, and what they can do to streamline and make more effective their appliance, you know, mix. So really awesome conversation, one that I think, you know, not even just from the COVID side, but talking about ART, you know, Troy had a lot to say and a lot of great insights as to, you know, why they got involved with the tool, the benefits they're seeing, even though they've only been able to use it here for a couple weeks, and you know, really haven't been able to dive into it, you know, as deeply as they will, you know, as they get more ingrained and integrated with the tool. So really awesome stuff. Appreciated his time, and look forward to sharing it with you. So let's just dive into this interview on the Independent Thinking Podcast with Troy Varness of Fred's Appliances. All right, we're back on the Independent Thinking Podcast, and you know, always great when I get the chance to talk to members of Nationwide, and that's what we're doing here today. I got Mr. Troy Varness, General Manager of Fred's Appliances. Troy, first of all, appreciate you taking the time and calling in and chatting with us today.
Oh, no problem. Happy to do it.
So just to, you know, start out, get in a little familiarity with you, and let our audience know a little bit about yourself. Tell us, you know, just about your retail background, and then we can start talking about Fred's.
Well, I've been in the appliance retail industry for about 28 years. Started out in sales, of course, and some delivery aspects, and then worked my way up. Moved several years ago to my current position in Spokane. That was in 1997, I think it was, so 22, 23 years ago.
Awesome. And you know, tell us a little bit now about Fred's Appliances. Obviously, like you mentioned, located up there in Spokane. Far, you know, opposite side of the country from this Philly boy. So a little bit of a different location. What's it like up there, and how's business at Fred's?
Well, we have 10 stores. We have 4 stores in Montana, 1 in North Idaho, Coeur d'Alene area, and then, of course, Spokane. And then we have 1 that's south of us, 2 hours in the Tri-Cities area. It's a big territory. When you look at the area that we service, as far as delivery and everything, it's bigger than the whole state of Florida.
Wow.
My farthest store for me to drive there right now is about 8.5 hours away.
Wow.
It's a big area. We just don't have much population.
Right. So, well, what's it? That's got to present some, you know, unique challenges having that big of an area. So what's that like for you as general manager to try to cover that area?
It's difficult. And of course, with everything that's going on in the world right now, getting to the stores has been a real challenge. That's probably been the hardest thing this year, is not being able to get out and see everybody and you know, do your visits and check in with everyone. That's been the hardest thing.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, I think a lot of the member support managers at Nationwide could relate to you. You know, not being able to get out to member stores and having to do things like video chat with. I mean, is that what you're doing? Is it a lot of video conferencing, trying to stay in touch that way?
That's all you can do, really. It's definitely changed. It's changed how we do business, not just within our own company, but even with our vendors and everything. It's definitely different. You know, it's not the same as an in-person meeting, but you still got to get business done, right? I mean, business has been crazy, crazy good. And that just makes it that much more difficult. You can't get out and see everybody. You know, resources are stretched to the maximum right now, delivery, service department, all of it. It's just everybody's, you know, just really running hard.
Right, right. Now, I know we'll, you know, I plans to ask you a little bit more about how these past few weeks and months have been, but before we dive deeper into that, I want to ask you, you know, what's kind of the thing in your mind that sets Fred's apart, you know, from other, now maybe in your area or you know, other independents in general?
Well, our biggest thing is we try to warehouse and keep a lot of inventory in stock all the time. That is primarily my competition. Is the box stores. And that is where we win, is that I have it in stock, you know, and we can deliver right away, and, or they can pick it up. And that's the big difference, really.
Yeah. And you know, it's, of course, I think very apropos that you mentioned that, because I know, you know, in talking with dealers, and members during this time, during this COVID situation, that having inventory has been one of the bigger challenges, just because of everything that manufacturers have faced and supply chain issues. So, I mean, at the outset, did that, having that advantage, help you guys? Is that something that you noticed for sure up front?
Oh, absolutely. You know, when our state first got locked down, there actually was quite a bit of a slowdown in business for about 2 weeks. And then, it took off, and you know, fortunately, our barns were full. I mean, our warehouses were busting up the seams. We had a lot of inventory, and even with that being said, we didn't have enough. I mean, we sold 430 freezers in like 6 days and ran out. And so there are certain categories we were just really strained in, even though I had lots and lots of them in stock.
Right. Well, you know, you mentioned that looking around the Fred's website right now, I noticed the orange banner across the top is probably something a lot of, you know, dealers, and whether big box or independents, are saying right now. And that's, you know, freezers are unavailable right now. It was one of the hot ticket items, I think, and still is at this point.
We were getting so many phone calls.
Yeah.
That, you know, and finally we're doing everything we can just to, hey, look, we just don't have them. Because it was insane. I mean, the phone would just ring off the hook, and every single phone call was a freezer call. So
crazy. I mean, what, you know, as we're kind of several months into this now, what are you seeing? Like, is it getting better, you know, from a supply chain standpoint?
I think so. Definitely starting to see some product break loose slowly. But it is coming, and we're getting some categories back, but I don't see freezers recovering for a while, because every time I get 10 or 15 freezers in, they're gone in an hour.
Wow.
Because we have customer waiting lists on. So it's, yeah, that's just going to be a tough category for a while.
And that's crazy. You know, inventory challenges certainly have been talked about, and we know about them. Is there anything else, or, you know, as this period is kind of worn on, are there any challenges that are cropping up now that maybe you didn't anticipate?
The increase in business, we were not prepared for that kind of increase in business that quickly. So our logistics, delivery, warehouse, everything is just, I don't have enough. And getting help is difficult at best. And I could use probably 8 more guys right now just here, and we're hiring everybody we can and just doing everything we can to get the stuff out the door. You know, normally in a normal time like this, you know, this time last year, we would advertise same day, next day delivery. Well, that's impossible right now. I mean, I'm several days out to get deliveries done. So that's been a huge, huge challenge for us.
I mean, it's kind of, you know, interesting. It's almost like one of those, you know, when someone asks you in an interview, it's like, what's your greatest weakness or your strength? And you talk about your weaknesses kind of thing. Like, does it feel like that where, you know, there is a lot of business, so it's like a good problem to have?
It is a good problem to have. You know, from a customer service standpoint, we always we're very proud of the fact that we could get people taken care of right away because we have the inventory and we have the delivery capacity. But when the business increases that rapidly, because it was literally within 2 or 3 weeks, then all of a sudden you're behind and you can't react quick enough, not realizing that this is coming. There's just nothing you can do except hire like crazy and get more trucks and get people trained and get them on the road as quickly as you can. The interesting thing is most of the customers have been what I would consider to be very reasonable and very forgiving. Just the fact that we have it and we're going to get it to them in a week means a lot to them. In the past, they would have been screaming. I mean, you know, you guys need to bring it out today. Well, in the world we're in right now, they're being a lot more patient with us. And that's been a blessing for sure.
No, that's awesome to hear. And I mean, how's that relate to, you know, or how does that translate to just the in-store experience with them as well? I mean, from, you know, obviously there's the inventory side and them shopping with you, but then also the, you know, the practices of today, you know, health and safety things you have to consider. What kind of feedback have you gotten from that?
It's been pretty good. You know, all of our guys are cleaning everything before they leave the home. They're masked up, of course. Tons of cleaning supplies on the truck and sanitization stuff. And same thing in store. So, you know, we're very, very cautious with the public, and just doing our best to follow all the guidelines and make sure they feel comfortable with us being in their home or in our stores.
Gotcha. No, obviously important. And, you know, something I think it's kind of one of those things where you feel like a lot has changed and a lot has happened. And, because of COVID and what it's presented, but that's one of those ones you almost feel like whether there's a pandemic around or not, it's kind of those practices that feel like they're going to stick around after this is all settled.
I would agree. Some of it will for sure. Yeah. We're all looking at it a little differently. I know my delivery guys hate having a mask on when it's 100 degrees outside and they're, you know, hauling refrigerators into somebody's home or apartment complex. And it's just, it really wears them out. It's tough.
Yeah, for sure. Another potential challenge, just want to get your kind of take on, you know, forecasting seems like it's impossible right now, just because of everything that's happening from, you know, whether it's a supply standpoint or even, you know, what you anticipate from a sales perspective. So how are you kind of managing that, you know, trying to look ahead to future quarters with so much uncertainty out there?
We started probably back in the first part of May, just ordering like crazy, knowing full well it's not going to ship, but to get in line for the product and hopefully get some of it to ship. there's probably a pretty good chance there'll be some orders that are going to be canceled if we get much farther downstream and they can't give us ship dates. The last thing I want to do is go into the end of the year with a barn full of appliances, especially not knowing what's coming. So, but we got them on order and we're waiting in line. You know, you got to be ready.
Gotcha. Well, one thing that does, and I know, you know, we wanted to get to this too, is you know, talk about forecasting appliances. I know you guys are, Fred's is one of the early members that have been participating in the assortment rationalization tool, which is a mouthful to say, but you know, simplified down to ART through Nationwide. You know, how I want to start just by asking, you know, how was the tool presented to you? How did you come to learn about ART and what it offers?
You know, I was trying to remember. It's been quite a while ago now. Mike Collier presented it to us and got our input as to what it needed to look like and what we should show, what he shouldn't show. And we were fortunate enough to be somewhat involved in the development of it, I guess. And all his work, don't get me wrong, but we got to put some input in. And then some time went by, and I think they were tweaking some things and doing some different things to it. And then we finally got our first good look at it a couple weeks ago. And it's a fantastic, powerful tool.
So what, you know, what were the kind of early looks at that you were having? What were sort of those initial thoughts that you had about, you know, what it could do or sort of the potential of what you saw in the tool?
Well, I think one of the biggest things is it lets you go in and look at your core lineup, if you will, especially on your floor. You can go in, you can look, and you can see what SKUs are delivering margin to you, and you can see what SKUs are selling and which ones are really not getting the turns. They're just sitting there. And then using the other information from the other members that's on there, you can go in and say, hey, you know, in this price range, this SKU is working really well for dealer X. Maybe we should bring it in and give it a try and look at the margin. And it just allows you to fine tune your floor and find those models that you might be missing. It's really, really, it's a great tool.
One of the, you know, as Mike was kind of walking us through it, you know, from internally kind of pitching the tool to us and explaining how it works. I know one of the things when you're looking at it, it's kind of one of those, it's one of those things you have to see. It's hard to explain because there's a lot there, a lot of different breakdowns, like you mentioned, the price ranges and things like that. So as you're actually using it, you know, it's one thing to talk about, you know, how it can be talked about and how members won't be overwhelmed. But as you're in there as a member using it, is it something, do you ever find yourself, you know, getting overwhelmed by the amount of information that you can pull out of it?
Absolutely. I mean, if you allow it to, you know, I mean, there is a ton of information. You can spend an awful lot of time, maybe even too much time, trying to analyze it. But I think, you know, looking at our data and then comparing it a little bit with the members' data, the other members' data, is valuable for sure. And that doesn't take too much time. You can go right through and see what's going on.
Well, and to your point there, how is it that you, you know, make sure you stay focused in the tool so that you're not getting overwhelmed?
Well, first of all, don't ever try to conquer more than one category at a time. I mean, if you're going to do French doors, then just stay on French doors until you're comfortable with it. Don't try to go and, I mean, you can just overwhelm yourself if you're trying to do too much with it. You just need to take it off in small chunks and get it right.
Gotcha. I mean, how have you guys, have you been able to utilize it in your store?
We have been crazy, crazy busy, like I told you, and I'm not using it like I want to, but I have analyzed the French door category, and I've got a little bit more work to do on it, but it is powerful. I really think that it's going to make us more money, and we're going to do better with some of our vendors because of it.
So what then, you know, you talk about the work has to be put into it for, you know, in order to get something out of it. But, you know, if you're pitching this to a member, another member, someone comes up to you, asks why they should, you know, look into using a tool like this, what's kind of the way you explain it to them?
I would explain it not unlike what I just did for you, which is it will help you get rid of stagnant SKUs on your floor. It can also tell you that maybe you're, as an example, I'll just use this as an example. Maybe I'm flooring a stainless French door on my floor, and I see that the member data that people are doing quite well with maybe a black stainless one, right? And I don't floor it. Maybe I should have a couple in stock though, right? And then I go and look at our sales history on it and realize, okay, yeah, we are selling them in black stainless even without showing it. So it can help me with my floor stock, but it can also help me with my back stock and making sure that I have some SKUs that are moving that maybe I'm not noticing on a daily basis. And the second thing I would tell a member that's thinking about using it is you'd be crazy not to, because it will get you more involved in your merchandising. And I think that's something, especially when we're really busy like we've been and everything, but I think that's something that a lot of people lose sight of is their merchandising. Oftentimes what's on the floor is what the salespeople want, not what's best for the business. This lets you make a business decision on your floor inventory and your backstock, and not just what a salesperson wants to drive. So it's worth it. It will make you money.
Sort of, you know, as you're using it now, any benefits that you've kind of, you didn't expect to realize with it, or any ways that you've been able to use it that kind of weren't necessarily, you know, pitched to you as how you could use a tool like this?
You know, Rob, not yet. I mean, I just barely touched the surface. Again, I've only had it for a couple of weeks, but I can see right away. And even actually when Mike presented it to us months ago, I can see right away that there's some real value here. Just so I have a better knowledge of what's going on out on my floors, margins, assortment. Are my guys selling up? Are they selling down? Why are we selling the cheapest one when we should be selling the model above that? I mean, there's so much there.
Yeah. You're kind of talking to, you know, the potential of it. Just from that perspective, you mentioned you kind of are just scratching the surface with this. Is there anything you anticipate from this? What do you kind of see as, how important of a tool or how integrated this tool will become for you guys at Fred's?
We'll be using it a lot, because already it's going to affect my French door lineup. And again, that's the only category I've played with. I suspect when I get into dishwashers, which is a big, big category, that there'll be a lot of changes in the dishwasher category. We probably carry too many models on the floor, number one. Number two, I know that there are stagnant models that we just simply don't sell. The salespeople aren't going to it, customers aren't asking for it, and we need to eliminate that. I mean, floor space is at a premium. I mean, all the colors that are out now and everything, you've got to be able to set your floor correctly to the things people are looking for, not just what you think is good or what your rep thinks you should have on the floor.
Well, and you know that, I'm glad you say that, because that's kind of the thing that, if you want to boil it down, it takes that gut feeling out, I think, is the way, I know that a lot of it's been described, is you have you as a someone in retail that is, in charge of making sure you have the right product on the floor. A lot of it to date has been gut feelings, right? I mean, is that a fair way to describe it?
Absolutely. You're 100% correct. You know, I'm an old retailer, right? I mean, I've been doing this for a long time. And for years, I'm dating myself here, but I told you I've been in the business for 28 years. We didn't even have computers when I started, right? Everything was on paper. And so you couldn't do research that you can do today and stuff. And so, yeah, I was trained to do everything with my gut feelings. This is real data. This eliminates that guesswork. And am I making the right decision or am I making the wrong decision? I mean, it's real data. It tells you what you're doing. It tells you what your company's doing. It tells you what your peers are doing. That's what I'm saying. It's a very, very powerful tool.
Behind that power, and that, this is something I you know, want to be sure to ask, because I think there's a lot of confusion or maybe even some hesitation too. You know, you talk to people about data and the things that have to be plugged in for this kind of thing to work for you. You know, what, how do you get over, or was it even a concern for you? You know, I know supplying things like point of sale data and allowing access to, you know, see how numbers work at your store for them to be able to funnel into a tool like this. Any concerns, you know, from you as a member, or, you know, how did you, I guess, justify the needing to supply data to get access to something like this?
If you would have asked me that question 5 years ago, I would have said, I'm absolutely not going to supply any point of sale data. You know, I always felt like that was protected. That's mine. You don't need to know about it. I don't want the vendors to know. I don't want my fellow members to know all that. But, you know, I mean, times have changed, and Nationwide has made me very comfortable with sharing the data with them so that they can do things like this. I think that moving forward, you have to. If you want to keep up, you need these kind of tools, and you need to be able to send the data. They're always trying to help. You know, Nationwide's always going to try to help you stay in business and do business and make money and do a good job. And so you kind of got to change. You know, you got to change your attitude. And after seeing the information, I'm glad we did it, and we're going to continue. So,
no, it's awesome to hear. And I mean, I think it's that kind of sentiment or you know, way of talking about it is kind of true to just independence in general. It's all about flexibility, adaptability, and it's kind of one of those things that I think this space has that you won't find at a big box or corporate chain. So that's a testament to you guys for being adaptable and flexible. So
yeah, you have to be. It's the world we live in now. I mean, you might as well give it to them, because they can figure it out. You know, I mean, you might not be able to get exact, but it doesn't make any difference. It's just, it was time to do it. We fought it for a while. I'm not kidding you. We didn't want to do it. And then when Mike showed us this, that changed my mind, honestly.
Wow. So, well, that's interesting to hear. So, because, you know, I know that, you know, there's a lot of back and forth that goes on, obviously, between members and need what these tools need, what, you know, the benefit of them and kind of how we can get to this. So this was kind of that straw that convinced you guys.
It was, because of several factors, the things I've already mentioned, you know, setting your floor and making sure you have the right SKUs. But something we barely touched on, but it's pretty important to most appliance dealers, is margin.
Yeah.
I can see if I am negotiating and getting a good deal on a piece, or if I'm not, based on the other members. And so that gives me the tool to go and leverage my vendor for, I want to carry this SKU, but hey, I need my you know, I need my pricing here. And I know you can do it because other people are getting that price. So that's another asset. I mean, it's margin, it's money.
Oh, awesome to hear. I mean, it's kind of, that's one of those, if you want to call it a not unintended, because the data is right there, but sort of those ancillary benefits of having a tool like this. So, you know, it's more than just having the right assortment, as the name of the tool says. It's about maximizing the efficiency of that assortment. So,
correct. And it's all right there. I mean, you can see it. You can see what you're selling for, and you can see what other people are selling for, and average price being paid for it. And it just gives you the ability to negotiate.
No, that's awesome. And, you know, cool to hear. And I like I said, I appreciate you taking the time to share this. I know, Troy, you got a big territory up there. So I don't want to take too much more of your time trying to, you know, get you to talk about this. So yeah, I know you got some work to do. So
yeah, always.
Don't we all? No, but hey, I appreciate you taking the time. I look forward to kind of seeing how this tool, the art tool, you know, works out for you guys. And I know more members as more sign up. So I appreciate you spending a few minutes chatting with us about it.
Yeah, no problem. I appreciate it that you allowed me to get on, chat with you about it, because it is something that everybody should look at it.
Hey, we hope so. So, and you know, having stories like yours certainly helps get the needle moving in the right direction. So thank you for sharing.
You bet. Anytime.
Awesome. And again, a huge thank you to Troy for taking time out of his schedule and sitting down with us and sharing a little bit about, you know, what they've been facing, you know, as they continue to manage through COVID and what this experience has been like. And then also, too, to shed a little light on what this assortment rationalization tool is all about. So, you know, we spend so much time with it here internally at Nationwide and, you know, we could talk about the benefits, but it's awesome to hear about how, you know, retailers and our members, you know, even early on, the tool hasn't been out there for that long, but how they're already realizing some benefits. So I appreciate him sharing his story and telling us all about that. So look forward to seeing how, you know, he's able to adjust the business up there and you know, do so through the use of art. So, but as always, appreciate you taking the time to listen to the Independent Thinking Podcast, and we will catch you next time.